Ron and Anian.
You went four-wheeling in your Volvo?
I did. I had no choice. I went to the car wash, and I paid the extra and had it bottom blasted.
The bottom blast?
Right, the bottom blast. It kind of like blasts the underneath of your car.
I was envisioning something different. Okay, the bottom of the car. Got it.
It's fun to stay at the
The Car Doctor.
You're saying you used your cruise lever to override the laser control?
Correct. That's exactly right.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I bet the house is ready, but the car's not ready for the coronavirus. And that's what we're going to talk about as we kick off the next 2 hours of The Car Doctor. And thanks for stopping by. I guess everybody's got the time, right? Maybe I've got a captive audience out there today. But with so much going on, holy cow. I myself have been home since Tuesday. We voluntarily closed the shop because there's a lot going on and there's a lot of traffic and, you know, people walking in and out. And I said, why don't we take, we're going to close until April 1 if New Jersey hasn't banned us by then. And I don't think they're going to, from what I'm hearing. We're going to try and reopen April 1 and do things a little differently, but I've been home since April 1 and I've been home since Tuesday, and I can tell you that, you know that scene in Young Frankenstein when Gene Wilder is like, get me the hell out of here? I'm ready. I can't retire. You know, folks, I got to tell you, if anybody's worried about me retiring, not going to happen. They're going to have to drag me out of the place with a wrench in my hand because it's boring sitting at home. Tom.
You got a problem watching Oprah?
No, it's just, you can't watch the news. We don't want to watch the news. We want to have a little bit of, you know, we want to be serious, but we want to, you know, it's our minds can't take it all the time. And I want to talk about, well, first of all, I want to pay a special tribute, if I can, in the opening segment here. This radio show wouldn't exist a lot of times without the aid of Tom Ray, my engineer. But Tom is here alone in studio today, and you're going to see Tom Ray do seven things at once, from manning the board, the mic, the phones, to everything else in between. So Tom braved the lack of traffic and the coronavirus to be here today, and I love you, Tom. I appreciate you being here.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, broadcast engineers are actually considered first responders.
Well, I could see that.
We're the guys who have to keep everything on the air.
So. Yeah, I could see that.
And keep the news flowing.
You know, I'm blessed to have a guy like you. But in all seriousness, Tom's here of his own volition. We told Mikey to stay home today because we'd actually be breaking the law, I think, if we had everybody in studio today. And we looked at that and said, you know, let's change it. So on that note, getting the car ready. You know, the house is ready, right? You've got all the beans, rice, and everything else you need in the house, but is the car ready? Is anybody thinking about the car? By the way, on a non-car related thought, is anybody thinking about the dog and the cat? Do you have enough cat and dog food in the house? And I just want to mention that. But the car. And what made me think about this was in the 3 days that I was closed, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, till we get to here today, here Saturday, you know, a lot of people were sending me texts because we use a text service in the shop, and you know, I want to come in for the oil change. And everybody that was saying that is a month late, is 2 months late. One person was November, and now they're getting around to the oil change, you know, 5 months later, 4 months later. And is anybody thinking about the car? I know in a lot of cases, it's the last thought, and I'm betting that on an automotive show, if you're sitting here listening to the sound of my voice, you're probably, hopefully, in tune with your car somewhat. But you know, how much and are you ready for, you know, if we're hibernating for the next 45 days or 30 days or whatever it is? Because auto repair shops are going to eventually suffer from lack of parts. And, you know, I don't expect a mad rush like there has been for toilet paper, but will we be able to get filters? Will we be able to get oil? The basic necessities of general auto repair and maintenance. I said to Tom today that, you know, one of the things I'm curious to see is what the failure rates will be for the people that aren't or haven't done maintenance, or will it catch up to us? You know, if the car is 4 years old, you might need a battery. It might happen in year five. It might happen in the next 6 months. It might happen tomorrow. and something as simple as a battery. If the battery's not any good, the car's not going to start, you're done. So, you know, you want to be aware of that. Great website, get out to autobatteries.com. And you can read all about batteries and testing and jump starting and, you know, just jump starting. How many people know how to jump start a car? Show of hands, right? You know, if you don't know, then get out to autobatteries.com and read about it on their section on jump starting. What fluids does your car take? If your repair shop is closed, all right, what fluids does your car take? Do you know where to put the oil in? Do you know how to check oil? Now, a lot of cars today, newer cars, you can't check a lot of fluids. You can check engine oil, except if you're driving some German exotic BMW, Audi, Mercedes, etc. But can you check the oil? Have you checked the oil level? You know, get in the car. Look in the top left corner, because it seems like nationally we've gone to this oil change sticker systems. Everybody's pretty much got a sticker in the top left corner. Door jam labels went away 15 years ago. But if you look in the top left corner, do you have a sticker? What's the sticker say? Is it due by time and mileage? You know, is it due by one or the other? How far overdue are you for both? And, you know, maybe now's the time while you can still get it into a mechanic, get it in. Parts are going to become an issue at some point. You know, we're going to see the effects of so many shutdowns that we're going to be aware that, you know, parts will become a problem, and you can't fix from an empty shelf. And I have to give credit to Ford in particular. Ford actually has made the effort that, you know, they are extending their efforts and extending the hours that you can still, they've done some extra work to ensure that you can get parts through the Motorcraft Parts Distribution, through the professional service network that they operate. And Ford is actually, you know, doing the job, and I often think back that Ford is doing the job that they did back in the Second World War, right, where they created the Willow Run bomber plant where they were putting out the Liberators. And, you know, here they are again. They're stepping up to the plate. They're making parts available through Motorcraft Distribution and other sources so that we can still get parts for Ford Lincoln and through Omnicraft through Ford Parts. So, you know, kudos to them. And you can find it, obviously, get out to motorcraft.com, fordparts.com, and so on. So, you know, you got to be smart. Can't panic. We got to be smart. Take a look at your car. If you need to know what fluids does your car take, the owner's manual's in the glove box. Look it up. Specifications for oil. There's a million videos out there. You might even find a video of that guy, the car doctor, on YouTube talking about different things. And I'm actually kicking around. Tom's shaking his head. He's saying the face made for radio. I know. I know what you want to say.
No. What I want to say is you can't find eye bleach right now. So let's kind of ignore him.
So why would you want that? You wouldn't want to do that. I'm actually thinking, though, because when I'm home, the hot rod's at home. So I may actually have to swap the distributor on the hot rod this week. It's got an internal electronic module problem. So I might put out a couple of videos of working on the hot rod. We'll see. We'll see how enthused I am or how much time I have, because I'm sure I'll find a zillion things to do. But, you know, going back to your car, is your car, I want to say emergency. You know what? It's we're not going anywhere, but if you have to go somewhere, if you have to get to the supermarket, if you have to get to the doctor, should you legitimately need to go for something other than, you know, the bug, the virus, will it start? Will it work? Because I'm thinking to myself, can you get emergency roadside service? How strained is that going to be? And, you know, you don't want to necessarily depend on or count on the fact that that phone call is always going to work. So simple, basic things. Let's give you the takeaway. All right. How old's the battery? Think about the battery. Okay. If the car's new and the car's 4 or 5 years old and you've never put a battery in it, now's the time to think about it. All right. Autobatteries.com. If the car is more than 4 or 5 years old, or even if it's not, you know, do you have a basic fluid kit? Oil, trans fluid, if you can get to it, because not all fluids are the same, all right? Power steering fluid, if it doesn't have electric power steering, and it might, read the owner's manual. You know, when was the last time the air filter was replaced? When was the last time the cabin filter was replaced? You know, when we talk about our health and staying healthy and breathing well, how clean is the cabin filter, all right? Get out to wixfilters.com. You'll read about cabin filters. Get out to O'ReillyAuto.com. You'll read about, you know, different fluids. And by the way, the folks at O'Reilly Auto Parts are making every effort. They are they're making curbside pickup available at their stores. You can call ahead, you know, just like the supermarket. So, you know, on the ball, doing the job right. and then take a look at the tires. Are the tires in any kind of decent shape? Don't be that person that just, you know, is waiting to the last minute for the last possible bit of life out of those tires, because it may not be that easy to get anything. And as well prepared as the house is, and it seems like the houses are so well prepared, you know, you've got to get the car ready too. So just things to think about. And, you know, if you've got any issues, you've got car advice, listen, email me, because, you know, Lord knows I've got the time now. Ron and Annie, you know, Ron at cardoctorshow.com. You know, we'll get you to it. And, you know, so on and so forth. So let's pull over and take a pause if we can. I see Tom with a phone in his ear. Let me see if I can distract him long enough to turn off the mic. If he can do that, see if Tom can do two things at once. Tom, I'm going to pull over and take a pause. I'm Ron Anini and the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go.
For the best in car advice, give Ron a call, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Maureen in Pennsylvania, you're on with the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hey there, thanks.
You're welcome.
So I was calling. I have a 2018 Ford EcoSport.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest problem, I have a few different issues I wanted to ask you about, but the biggest problem has been that I became an Uber driver, but I have this man who's been harassing and stalking me, and he's doing things to my car. He also does them to my apartment, but my car is my income. And he's diminished my mileage from 25 to 30 miles a gallon down to 16 to 19. And I have been trying to figure out how he's done it. I have all theories. I mean, he puts all these smells into my car, too. He must be spraying the engine or something. But and they come in through the air vents, even if a wind blows, you know, it comes in through the air vents. I think I can work that out if I could just be able to actually make some money doing the... Obviously, we're having a little slow time right now, but
right.
Hopefully that will change. But I've been trying to figure out what this guy's doing, because I took it over to the car dealership. I went down to Pennzoil a few times. He does things like loosen my lug nuts or let the air out of my tires. So they've been helping me down at Pennzoil down the road. They've been really great. Just helping me.
Let me ask you something, Maureen. You know who this is that's doing this to the car?
Yes, I'm quite sure. I know. I'd like, let's say 0.0000001%. I could be wrong. All circumstantial evidence points to this one person whose name, of course, I cannot mention.
Right.
But the police will not help me. His dad gave me a veiled threat, you know. Oh, well, you know, I have relationships with all the chiefs in the area. So it came to pass that obviously he knew what he was talking about, because they will not help me. They wouldn't even help me. I mean,
but
I complained about the vandalism to my car.
Maureen, yeah. You can file a police report, not to give you legal advice,
no,
but... You can.
No, the police won't. The police took my report and do nothing. They're like I said, the guy said he has a relationship with the chief, and the chief won't do anything. They won't do anything for me. They are refusing to help this senior citizen.
Okay. Have you approached the state police?
Yes, I have, and they will do nothing that overrides what the local police will do. I went to the district attorney's office.
Okay. And
you know
what they
said to me?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
He said he's a misogynistic individual who should not have been reelected. He said to me, well, you have mental problems.
Okay.
This is Pennsylvania. Remember, yeah. This is Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You have to take it. Southwestern Pennsylvania. So anyway, I'm not from here, obviously, and I'm not used to this sort of thing, but I'm done trying to figure out why I'm getting 16 miles to the gallon and 18 miles to the gallon. So I fill the tank up with gas. I get my oil changed. The tires are good. I'm getting 30 to 34 miles a gallon. I'm riding on a cloud. Next morning, my car is getting 16 to 19 miles a gallon.
How do you know?
Because it gives me that readout. And then when I check the readout against my calculator, it's exactly right.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Where do you park the car?
In the parking lot where I live.
Okay.
I don't have a garage or anything. There is a camera there.
Okay. Does the camera record anything?
You know, yes, it does. But Action Housing owns my building, and they won't help me either.
So you're telling me that you've got a picture of somebody on camera fooling with your car?
Well, I'm telling you that there should be a picture on camera. Now, here's the thing. When the original time happened, I pinpointed the date. We got the... Sorry, I was getting another call. I hope you can still hear me.
Oh, I can hear you.
Good. So it took me like a month and a half to get the video, but I finally got it. And guess what?
I'm waiting.
Portions of time were deleted. So in other words, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes were deleted. So the person who did what they did it rather quickly, but they also had access to the camera. So I don't know what they're doing.
Do you have the option of Do you have the option of parking the car somewhere else?
No, not really. Not especially in this location.
Why not?
Well, it's a senior housing. It's a senior. It's an apartment building in a parking. You know, we have one parking lot.
Well, here's
and then they're all residential behind around us.
Okay, so listen. You said you were taking it to a Pennzoil oil change place.
Yeah.
Okay. What if you left the car with him overnight, and could they give you a ride home, or could you Uber home, so that just to see does this happen? You know, let's prove that the problem.
Well, let me just say that I had a flat tire because of all the ways he's been playing with my tire.
Right.
So the tire just rolled into a curb one day and it just ripped. So I had to get a new tire. So I left it overnight at a tire place, and when I went there the next day. He's GPS my car. He's GPS me and or my car because he's got high frequency screeching in. But right now my concern with you is, do you know of anything that someone can do to make the mileage change like that? Because
no.
But what had happened was I know what.
Not
he
unless
did
is, does he have access to the inside of the car? Can he open the doors? Can he open the hood?
Well, since he's been playing around with frequencies, I'm guessing that he can do anything he wants because he can identify a frequency in all of these cars.
Okay.
You know, today, I mean, but it's a keyless entry.
But if a mechanic were to scan that, if a mechanic were to look under the hood, if a mechanic were to check the OBD2 connector to see if there's anything plugged into it.
OBD2 connector.
Right.
Well, here's the deal. I have found people, now this guy down at Pennzoil, he did what he could, but they don't really work on cars. They just change the oil. I bought a snake camera. We looked for all devices, but he didn't mention anything about an OBD2.
Yeah.
But when I took it back to the dealership, they weren't very interested. I mean, they put it up on the list and they looked around.
Well, and I got Maureen, I got to tell you, darling, because the clock's going to grab us. What I would do is I would have somebody look at the OBD2 connector, make sure it's normal, make sure there's nothing wrong with it. But I would pursue the issue with the police, just not giving legal advice, but just there's something wrong with this picture that doesn't add up, and I just want you to be safe. Good luck to you and yours. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this.
And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
The absolute great Kenny Rogers, rest in peace. And maybe it's so timely, right? As long as we're all going to be stuck at home for a while, I think it's YouTube. I think it's on YouTube and it's available for free. But Kenny Rogers, one of my favorite all-time movies, is Kenny Rogers and the Six Pack, where he's this down and out NASCAR driver, ex-NASCAR driver, and he sort of adopts and runs into these six orphaned kids that are car thieves. They strip cars for parts for the local sheriff down in Texas. Barry Corbin, I think, is the actor that plays the sheriff, who's just great in the role. And just a fun Saturday afternoon movie if you've got nothing else to do, to sit around, eat popcorn, and giggle. But yeah, just so sad. Rest in peace, Kenny. We're going to miss you. But get out to YouTube. You can watch it. It's free. So it's a good movie. Let's go over and talk to George. It's not George Norrie, is it? After the last call, I'm wondering, in Connecticut. George, can I help you with your 15 Lexus, sir? How are you?
Yes, you can. In fact, I took your advice and got my wife a nicer vehicle. She had an 08 Highlander, and now she's got a 13 Lexus.
And mom is happy. And mom is happy now, right?
Correct.
And if mom is happy, everybody's happy.
Took your advice.
Yep, good for you, sir. So how can I help you?
Okay, my thing is, this has the same engine that the Highlander had, but it is a hybrid. The Highlander, Toyota was saying that you should do an oil change every 5,000 miles. This being a hybrid, they're saying, Lexus is saying you should do it every 10,000 miles. I wanted your opinion on what you would do for oil change intervals on this vehicle.
First of all, the 5,000-mile interval I would only subscribe to if I was using synthetic. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the type of oil dictates that. They go to this theory about 10,000 miles on the hybrid because, you know, how much of it is, you know, not on the engine but on the other propulsion system and so on. So, yeah, I get that. But I always feel like a hybrid vehicle is working harder. It's always starts. It's not start-stop technology, but it's on, it's off. What's the warm-up cycle? We've taken something and engineered it to a finite degree. And I don't subscribe to that 10,000-mile oil change interval. I wouldn't do 5. Maybe I'd do 7,500 and split the difference. Because the other factor that's involved here is in what oil filter are they using? I don't believe Toyota's made any changes to their oil filters, and their standard filters, the last report I read, and I admit it was a year ago, but I haven't seen anything new come across my desk, is that standard Toyota oil filter is a 7,500, 8,000-mile filter. It's not an extended life filter. Now, they're probably saying, well, it doesn't run the 10,000 miles. It's 10,000 miles on the odometer, approximately, you know, maybe half of that on the engine, 5,000 on the engine. I'd like to see that in writing. I'd like to know where that number comes from. How did they come to that 10,000-mile conclusion? But if we were having a conversation at the counter, just you and I, George, I would tell you 7,500 miles is the top end of my limit, and I would probably do it a little sooner, not to aggravate anybody. You know, part of the issue is, too, keep in mind, as the vehicle ages, and this vehicle's already 5 years old, you know, we're doing more than changing oil. We're checking and setting tire pressure. We're looking at tire condition. We're looking at other underhood fluids. How long will it take you to go 10,000 miles in that car? What's your yearly mileage?
It'd probably take me about a year.
Okay. So there's my argument. Once a year, that car is going to get its underhood fluids checked and tire pressure done? Or are you going to go into a shop, pay them for a half hour of time, let them look at underhood fluids, let them check tire pressure, let them put the car up in the air and inspect things. So at that point, you might as well get the oil changed. Right?
Yeah, that's my thinking. I might as well stick to the 5,000 and have them look at
it
and just, you know.
Right. It's you know, one of the things I've learned in life is the more I invest in something at the beginning of its life usually rewards me towards the end. And I always come out ahead of the curve. So I would go for that 5,000-6,000-mile oil change interval using synthetic, using a good filter. And, you know, I think you'll be fine. And then looking at the rest of the fluids and just doing my normal maintenance.
Okay, thank you so much. Like I said, I value your opinion. And that's what I'm going to do, is still do every 5,000 miles with a synthetic that it calls for.
You're welcome, George. You take good care and stay healthy. All right, brother. Let's wander over and talk to Alan in Minnesota. Hey, Alan. Ron and Annie, the car doctor, sir. How can I help? Yes, sir.
Yes. I have a 2008 Town and Country.
Okay.
And I'm getting a brake light on the dash.
Red or yellow?
You know, 5 seconds after it started and stuff.
Red or yellow,
and
Alan.
I wondered, where do I start checking it? What does that brake light indicate?
Okay, red or yellow?
Red.
So you're getting a red brake light.
Yes.
All right. That red brake light, it's the same brake light if you were to put on the parking brake? That's the same light that would come on?
I'm not sure. I took the parking brake in. I pulled it back up and down to make sure it
I didn't ask that. I just want to know, is it the same light? If you apply the parking brake, is this the same red brake light that comes on?
I don't know that for sure.
Okay, so first thing I want you to do to diagnose this is put on the parking brake. Do you get a brake light on the dashboard? There's got to be a warning light telling you the parking brake's on. If it's the same light, we could just have a faulty park brake switch. But if that's the light, that's also the light for the sensor in the master cylinder for low fluid. Do we have low fluid?
I looked in the manual, and that's the light I think it is.
Right. So it's that light's one and the same. So there's usually two inputs for that light. It's either a park brake switch or a low fluid indicator. Now, you could have full fluid in the master and just a problem with the sensor in the master or a short in the wiring somewhere. So there's three possibilities just off the top of my head. But like okay. I said, I would verify, push down on the park brake or, you know, pull up on it, whatever it is that the same light? And if it is, at least now you've got a basis for the diagnosis.
Is there any way that I can take the low fluid sensor and disconnect it or something like that?
Well, you can
check it out.
You can try unplugging it, but it is probably going to. It might illuminate the light full time. You won't know till you try. All right. I've seen some cars. I've never tried that process. I would usually go the other way, unplug it, and ohm out the sensor itself. It's usually an on-off switch. All right, it's there's no resistance value there. It's either open or it's, you know, 8 ohms of resistance.
It's then okay.
All right,
so I could ohm that out to
right.
check it out.
Right, you could ohm it out. It should just be a switch. But then again, you won't know what good looks like. So because you know it's what's good. We don't have a known good. But you could try unplugging it for sure. Again, I just want to reiterate, just step on the parking brake, though. I want to see that red light come on, that it's the same light, and then we're both on the same page. All right.
Is that switch right inside the parking brake?
That switch for the parking brake is usually located above, if you get down, where I think you have a pedal assembly, usually located
right.
at the top of the pedal assembly. There's a switch with a little copper tang that the arm comes down and hits, and that's where it provides ground to complete the circuit. For ground to turn the light on, right? If you unplug that wire, and I think it's a, purple with a light blue or a light purple color. I just recall purple is the wire color down there, purple or brown. You might see that light go out as well. But again, is that the switch? Is that the same light? All right.
Okay. How does that sensor work on the brake fluid? If you say it's a switch, what pushes the switch on and off?
Well, when the switch, it's a magnetic switch such that when the two halves of the switch come together because of low fluid, it completes the path to ground and turns the light on.
Okay, so it has some sensor of fluid level.
Right. It has to know fluid level.
I think it's going to help me. Thank you much.
If the fluid level, let me just say this, if the fluid in the master is kind of mucky and crummy, then
yes.
if it did run low and you filled it, you have to make sure the float comes up, because I've seen it where there's so much gunk in the bottom of the master cylinder housing that the float, it gets stuck in the mud and it just won't rise. So sometimes, you know, tapping the master reservoir with a little flick of your finger or a gentle tap with a screwdriver handle will release the float and get it to come back up if the fluid level is low. You got some things to look at, Alan. And good luck to you. We're here next week if you need us. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's back right after this.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. You know, another thought on being prepared and getting ready is, let's think about car insurance. If you've got a classic, now's the time, you know, spring's here. We are going to get them out of the garage. As a matter of fact, now's a great time to get them out of the garage. Go do a little social driving, social distance by yourself. Go take a ride in the hot rod. It'll clear your head. Make sure your insurance is up to speed. And it'd be a good time to think about, you know, do you have enough coverage? And just, it's been a while. Maybe you want to get out to Grundy.com and read what Grundy's got to say about taking care of a classic and making sure you're insured, especially in these crazy times. So, you know, a lot of good reading at Grundy.com, too, because we've all got the time right now. Let's get over and talk to Sam in Arizona, 03 Buick LeSabre and some problems with the transpan. Sam, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Thank you. I had my transmission in a 2003 Buick LeSabre rebuilt about 3 years ago, and it's been 20,000 miles since.
Okay.
And the shop kind of bragged about, hey, all our gaskets are flat in the box. They're not curled up, so we don't have leaks.
Right.
Well, so now it's leaking, and I take it back. I said, can you look at it? Can you tighten up the bolts? He said, well, if we tighten them up, it could leak more. So we have to do a transmission service, basically drop the pan and replace the gasket for $200.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, after 20,000 miles, what's going on here? And he says, well, these gaskets tend to expand and contract with the heat and cold. It's just nothing. You just have to replace it sooner than you think, I guess. Is that your advice?
Well, you know what? You're Arizona. You've got, and listen, I'm an East Coast boy, so I'm going to say, in my mind, you've got a heat extreme, right? How hot is it in Arizona year-round versus New Jersey? I can tell you I've seen that in New Jersey as well. Usually it's a case on an older trans that it's a dried-out gasket that I used, and then I'll just swap the gasket out. You know, the question is, how much do these guys want to work with you? I don't want to say temperature extreme can't create that, Sam. All right, it can, but you know, how much of an extreme has it been? And is it just recently that it started, or has this been leaking for a while?
I think it's getting worse. It started maybe a year ago, 2 years after they rebuilt it.
Okay. So, you know, my other thought is the pan completely flat? You ever see a trans pan when it comes down?
Yeah.
The rail where the gasket sits?
Right.
All right, you know the bolt holes?
Yeah.
Are any of the bolt holes mushroomed up? Right.
They rebuilt it. I couldn't say. Hopefully
right.
Not. I don't think so. It doesn't look like it.
Right. Well, you wouldn't be able to see it unless you had the pan down. All right. GM had a couple of different. This is probably a 440T transaxle, or I don't think 4T65Es came out until a couple of years later. But GM had a couple of variations of this. Some of them were flat pans, you know, flat rails, and some of them had an embossed raised section where the cork gasket works. Sometimes this is a case of the wrong gaskets on the pan. I've also seen where some of these were supposed to be a hard rubber gasket with a shim in the middle, and those generally don't leak, and those you can't crush and mushroom backwards.
Oh, okay.
So let me address it like this, and then I'll let you ask your question or make your comment. Could temperature extreme affect the gasket? Yeah, absolutely. All right? But this could also be a case of condition of the pan and condition of the gasket itself that was installed. Sit right where you are, Sam. Let me pull over and take this pause. We'll finish when we come back. I'm Ron and the Car Doctor. Don't go away. Running in the Car Doctor. Let's get over to Sam, Arizona. You had a quick question, sir.
Yeah, so thanks for that input on the pan gasket. So going forward, would you try a couple things? I was thinking about just trying to retorque the bolts. Would you try that?
Well, you could, but the problem is you got to look at the gasket. Is the gasket already squished? If the gasket's already squished, squishing it more isn't going to help. It's going to make it worse. And then the other thing you've got to be aware of is look at the pan gasket. If the pan gasket is sort of shaped like Florida, which I think it is, that tells me I believe it's a 440 transaxle, and well, a 4T65E kind of looked like that too. But look above in the back of the car, just above the frame cross rail, there's a servo cover. All right, servo cover is a round cylindrical, like a bottle cap. Oh, but it's probably 4 or 5 inches in diameter. It's held in place by a snap ring. If it's wet, look to see if it's wet in the bottom of that. That O-ring has been known to leak too. And it will give the impression of a pan gasket because it's right above the pan gasket area, and it will seep out the O-ring, especially on a car low mileage sits a lot, and it will run along the pan rail and give you the impression of a pan gasket. You over-tighten the pan gasket, you make it worse, and that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It's you're chasing the wrong end of it. So okay. a little solvent, wipe it down, keep an eye on it. Where does the leak first appear? That's really where you want to go with this. All right.
Okay. If it's back to the pan gasket, real quick, does an aftermarket gasket, like a silicone gasket, or using the sealer with the gasket?
No, don't use RTV sealer with a cork gasket. You can use, there are some, it's like a rubbery type of gasket coated around the pan gasket. Those work well. Check and see what the local trans shop is using. But if you can find them, AC Delco made a hard shim gasket coated with rubber that never leaked, provided the pan was in good shape. If you can find one of those through your local AC Delco supply house. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor reminding you, until the next time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.